you know, whenever you're marketing a product or service, you're generally taking one of two angles, right? Either you're moving toward pleasure or you're moving away from pain. Right now, the marketing, because there's so much fear, is really focused, I think, on moving away from pain. It's like, here's, you know, a refrigerator, we can get it to you. We do it in a safe and healthy way, right? And you focus on avoiding all the pain versus all the pleasure that we would normally use to sell.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers. This podcast is for you if you see business as a tool for making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers. I'll be your host. And one of my biggest passions is learning from businesses who are growing without losing their authenticity. On season two, we are learning about how to thrive in times of crisis as we learn from businesses who have been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. If you are new here, I'm your host, Seth Silvers. And in this season, season two, we are specifically talking about times of crisis. Right now, as we're recording this on April 10th, a lot of people are locked down or out of work or unable to go to work, or their family life looks different because of the coronavirus pandemic. And it's kind of making an impact in most lines of business. So today I wanted to bring Tyler Brooks with Analytive on to talk about online marketing and to learn a little bit about how this is impacting his work, but also learn how we can, as businesses, still be growing online through this time of crisis. So Tyler, thanks so much for joining us.
Seth, man, it's an honor to be on the podcast with you today. I'm super excited for this conversation.
Thanks, man. Well, give our listeners a little bit of context. You and I have known each other for a few years in kind of the Fort Collins startup community, but give our listeners context for who you are and what it is that you do.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, my name is Tyler Brooks. I'm the founder and executive officer of a company called Analytive. We are a digital marketing company with a focus on paid ads, organic search, and funnels, right? So what I tell folks is if you want people to move into action, right, then come talk to us. We're focused on moving people from not knowing anything about your brand to actually purchasing from you. We're not a branding agency. Branding is incredibly valuable, but that's not our forte. We're really focused on, you know, some people call it activation, but basically we call it just moving the customer to the point of purchase.
That's awesome. How did you get into this? Have you been doing this since you were 4 years old?
No. So starting in college, so I studied business and entrepreneurship because I really had no idea what I wanted to do. And I was like, well, let me pick the most, I don't want to say generic, but the most useful thing without going super niche. So ended up studying business. I'm from Indiana originally. After that, I did video production. I actually worked full time for a mega church in Indianapolis doing audio, video production, mixing, recording sermons for them, special video projects. After about 6 months working there, realized that I loved the church, but it wasn't the career that I wanted to have. You know, A, you're in a nonprofit, so you don't make much money. Not that that's the most important thing, but also the lifestyle was rough because you're working every weekend. Obviously, most church services are on Saturday and Sunday. So then sort of felt myself wondering a little bit, like, what's next? And because really education was all I'd known professionally, I went back and there's a Anderson University in Indiana, has a one-year MBA program. So you go and you study, basically go to school 3 days a week and an externship for two of those days. So I leveraged the video opportunities I had for the externship, ended up working for a marketing company, convinced them that, oh, video would be great. They said, okay, come on in. You know, we'd love to have you. After about 2 weeks with that company, they said, oh, we're out of video projects. Like, we thought we'd have all this and we don't, but we also really like you. So do you want to learn search? And he said, we have this wing doing SEO, marketing for small businesses. And of course, I needed a job and said, absolutely. So I got my foot in the door and we started doing SEO. From there, was there about a year, finished up the program, moved out to Fort Collins, worked for a small agency here in town, did a lot of the social media marketing. And working with all these agencies, love the staff that I work with, but realized a couple things. A, marketing can be really hard, especially doing it well online. There's a lot of noise. And a lot of the agencies that both I worked in and that I saw really focused on things like impressions or things like brand recognition or brand lift, which is important. But if you're running a small business and spending, you know, that $500, $1,000, $10,000, whatever, you really need that to be generating a return. You need customers coming in the door. You need that in a measurable, trackable way. So SEO had that, then moved on to paid ads from there and realized all of these platforms, right, when used right, have a real measurable, trackable ROI. And so when working with small businesses, it makes a lot of sense for businesses to be really diligent about making sure they are running ad campaigns that are getting results, right? If you're not getting lead sales, I mean, whatever that thing is that helps you earn more top line revenue, you know, it's hard to justify that spend. And so we really focused and still focus on how do we take the customer from not knowing anything or maybe being inactive or not engaging with your brand for a while to where they're willing to get out their wallet or their credit card and buy from you in some way, shape, or form. So that's kind of the journey over the past 5 years. I mean, it's an ongoing process, but it's something that I really, really love. I love helping small businesses. When you see that you get to help a business actually earn revenue and, you know, you see that return on ad spend, or you see those leads come in that are going to be big customers for them, it's super rewarding. I mean, I love helping businesses grow. I love what I do from the financial standpoint, but it's so rewarding personally because you're helping entrepreneurs live their dream.
What was like the jump? Like that's always interesting when people go from, you know, doing for you, it was doing marketing work in an agency and then to kind of starting your own agency. What kind of finally caused you to jump off the cliff?
Yeah. You know, so it was a few things, right? It was the, like some layoffs happened, right? And getting let go of the agency that I worked at because I had the more metrics-driven, ROI-driven approach and they had a much softer approach. You know, so I'd go into the boss's office and be like, hey, like this campaign isn't generating any leads for these guys. And they'd be like, well, we're getting, you know, 10,000 impressions. And you know, and so there was sort of a butting of the heads and different approach on sort of, I guess, theories of marketing. So that was a big part of it. And frankly, I also realized that because of the way a lot of retainers and a lot of agencies structure their pricing, that it's more about getting the maximum number of hours, right? Rather than finding those points of super high leverage, right? Because one great marketing campaign, one great ad set, one great, you know, funnel, landing page, you know, all those combined can have exponential, I mean, 10x, 100x, 1000x impact. You know, it's not about just constantly creating lots of noise, right? Yes, you need to be present. You need to have brand. You need to produce content. I get that. One of the ways to find those 100x is producing a lot of content, right? I think obviously in StoryOn, you agree with that, I'm sure. But it's you know, the opportunity, right, is to find those really high leverage points. And that's what we try and focus on. It's like, what is the funnel, right? What is the thing that's really going to drive revenue? And I couldn't find a lot of agencies that were focusing on those things. Instead, it was, you know, the client would say jump and you'd say how high. I'd be like, wait, like the client doesn't know marketing. That's what they're paying us for, you know?
Right.
And so even with the relationships that I have with clients, it's more of a advisory role. It's a consulting role, not just a work for hire, like here, do some stuff for us, mm-hmm. right? If there, it's a do some stuff relationship, almost always our results are less impactful just because like experts, we know what we're doing. And we spent right. years and I read and study every day. I test different ads. I mean, we're in this stuff, you know, basically every day.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you guys do, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's like the organic search, so SEO, mm-hmm. and then funnels and paid ads. Are those kind of your three buckets?
Yeah. So funnels and paid ads go hand in hand.
Okay.
Right.
So I would love to get like I understand all of those concepts very well. But I'd love to get like a super micro lesson for small businesses of like, if somebody's like, I have no idea how organic search works. And then the same, kind of the same, like, could you give like a 60 second, just like quick crash course on like SEO and funnels and paid ads and kind of those three buckets for like true small business owners that, you know, you're probably struggling with budget. You probably don't have a huge marketing budget. It's probably just a few of you. Like, what do people need to know about SEO, funnels, and paid ads?
Yeah, great question. So if it's okay, I'm going to divide up the question a little differently.
Absolutely.
So in marketing, and I actually had a chance to talk about this at Fort Collins Startup Week and released it on the Analytive Podcast. So You know, I talk about basically high intent and low intent audiences. And there's, of course, medium intent in there as well. But a high intent audience is someone who's searching for your product or service, right? So if you're a plumber in Fort Collins, where we live, right? Somebody goes into Google and says, you know, drain cleaning, drain clog Fort Collins, you know, plumber Fort Collins, something like that. That's a super duper high intent search. You know, they're looking for a particular thing. So SEO is how you rank organically in that. Meaning that, okay, so if you search and someone, you know, who isn't driving but is sitting in front of a laptop or on their phone could just type about anything in their browser right now, you know, and at the top you'll see ads and they have a little green icon next to them that says, hey, this is an ad. Below that you have the organic results. So it's probably like Wikipedia, Amazon, you know, the things that we see. So SEO is ranking in those bottom 10, right? Those organic results. You know, how you do that, there's a variety of different ways, but it's basically having I'll put it this way. It's having the best result for the query, right? The Google algorithm, yes, there's tons of factors and title tags and, you know, meta descriptions and backlinks and all these technical terms. But at the end of the day, Seth, Google is trying to rank the best result for the query. And so having the best result is the simplest way in the long run to rank well in Google, right? And the idea is that as people search for plumbers in Fort Collins, if you're number one, number two, number three, you're toward the top of the list, more people are going to find your website, more people are going to call you on the phone, et cetera. Similarly, Google local listings are there. And ads, the paid ads from Google search ads, are just a way to sort of cheat, if you will, and show up right at the top of those results. Now, the upside is super high intent users. People who click on those are more likely to buy. The downside is it's very competitive, right? So if somebody has deeper pockets than you, can outbid you on those keywords, you're going to end up spending a lot of money. You know, kind of laws of supply and demand dictate that generally, you know, those prices of those ads are bid up to about where it's just barely profitable to in the long run, right, to compete on those. Now, there are huge opportunities. There are windows. There are specific keywords that aren't being bid on yet. So there's lots of opportunities you can find in there. But for you think the generic keywords, because it's so competitive, it's a little tougher. So that's sort of the high intent side in a nutshell. The low intent side is what we think of as most traditional advertising, right? It's interruption-based advertising. So this would be everything from TV commercials to you know, magazine ads. Specifically with us, it's going to be Facebook ads, LinkedIn ads, display ads. It's things that are like, hey, you know, kind of pull on your shirt a little bit, like you should pay attention to me. At that point, you have very little intent. You have mostly demographic and psychographic information like, okay, we sell, you know, microphones, right? So we want people who are interested in producing podcasts or recording music. So that might be our audience, but it's not somebody searching for best podcast mic, right? It's a different level of intent. So a lot of times those ads then lead to what we call a funnel, where you either give them a piece of content or you give them an offer that is very appealing, right? Where it's like, hey, this is the best podcast mic. It's reviewed by, you know, these 75 people who love it. And we really want to sell it to you at this amazing price, right? And a funnel is basically does two things. One is a normal website has tons and tons of different pages, which is great for SEO. Generally bad for conversion. So a funnel pushes people toward the conversion. So you land on the page, there's only one option, right? Buy the microphone, don't buy the microphone. Like it takes the choice out of the equation. From there then, a good funnel actually has like upsells and downsells. So they buy the mic, it's like, oh, but you also need this great XLR cable. You know, add that to my cart for $10. Yes, okay, great. So now the ad, you know, it costs you $20 to get this person to buy your microphone, but now instead of making $100, you're making $110 or $150 or $200. So a funnel is a way to really optimize the return on ad spend by adding upsells, downsells, things like that.
Yeah, I think the low intent, medium intent, high intent. And I was at your session and I thought it was a great, great way to explain it and stuff. Cause I mean, marketing can just get complicated and it can get, it can just get overwhelming for people unless you've spent years of your life studying it like you and I have. And it still gets overwhelming and stuff. And sure. I think that the situation you're describing of like, you know, an agency and, you know, campaigns being so much more about like the metrics that are sexy, like impressions and stuff. But then when you're actually looking at like the result, it's challenging because so much of social media and online marketing is a long game. Like, especially when you start getting into content, like so much of it is long-term brand building. I just, you know, I just talked with somebody the other day who's joining our membership program. And the first time that they came into contact with me was they said they like saw some of the, they saw some of the videos and watched some of the videos that I produced about a year and a half ago. They never told me that. They never commented and said, "Hey, Seth, I'm a future prospect. I'm following this and I like this." I didn't even really know who they were until maybe a month ago. And so there's such a real aspect of the long-term play of online marketing, but then there's also like, we need the short-term results because we need to actually be making money. How do you balance those? How do you balance the long-term play and the long game with, okay, we have to launch a campaign that actually makes money because we only have $1,000 a month or $500 a month, and we need to renew that.
Yeah, it's a great question and one that I actually get asked a lot. I think the first thing is to identify people who are using it as a cop out. Right, there's a lot of agencies who, you know, and I've been in this boat before in previous agencies where you're not doing necessarily that great of work, but you're doing it under the cover of, oh, we're doing branding, right? Like, it's hard to argue with branding because it's so abstract. So I think the first thing is, you know, realizing that branding can be a cover, and saying like, is this really branding? Is this having the impact that we want? Whatever that impact happens to be. The other thing is when you think about, you know, a conversion, again, I sort of oversimplified it and said, okay, add to funnel to landing page, right? Or to landing page to, you know, conversion. You know, that's a very simple way, but maybe there are interim steps in there. What we call in our business, we call them micro conversions. So maybe they sign up to get on your email list. They subscribe to your podcast. They, you know, engage with your page on social media. They get on your mailing list. They show up, you know, at an event you host. They consume a piece of content. They download an ebook. Whatever those things happen to be, there are a lot of sort of intermittent steps. The idea though is that you're always trying to move them a little bit further along in the journey, right, with your brand. And so if they've just heard of you for the first time, right, maybe the first ask is that they like your page on Instagram, or that they, you know, leave a comment on Facebook, or maybe they just visit your website once and you get them a retargeting pixel where you can show them ads later. But then it's like, okay, now that they're in the retargeting pool, what offer do you put in front of them to try and move them forward? Okay. And so for me, it's always about moving people gently, right, forward into the purchase funnel. Mm-hmm. And you do that by giving them opportunities. You do that right. By presenting them lots of offers. You do that by really just encouraging them to engage with your brand and develop that relationship in the long run, right? It's like, you know, I guess the cliche way of saying it is like dating or like any relationship, you know? It's like, you know, the more interactions you have with someone, the more you begin to probably usually like them and, you know, and engage with them. And
yeah, you're not going to propose on the first date.
Exactly, right? Exactly, so.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of looking at it. And so how does this change when your business, you know, the doors get shut down or you're deemed a non-essential business like a lot are in coronavirus pandemic? And how does this change? How should a small business's online marketing approach change or shift when we're going through a crisis like we are currently going through that is pretty much affecting every business, whether businesses are having to furlough all of their employees or permanently shut their doors, or, you know, businesses like you and I, where we've lost revenue, but we're still going and stuff. How should our approach to online marketing change in a season like this?
Yeah. And that's a great question. And so a couple caveats up front is part of it is we're still figuring this out because it is, you know, everyone says it's unprecedented, but that's because it is, right? I mean, you know, we've had economic recessions, so we could talk about, you know, general principles for recessions, but this is also different when you're being forced to close your doors because of a government mandate.
Right. Well, and online marketing was, I mean, the last recession was in 2008. In online marketing, I mean, there was Google ads, but like Facebook, and I think 2008 was when they started rolling out their ad program and stuff. So it's like, I mean, online marketing was so young and new in during the last recession. So this really is totally new.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, so I guess also it depends on what type of business you're in largely, right? And the answer is what kind of online marketing should I do, period, when times are great? And the answer is always also it depends on what type of business you're in. So general rules of thumb though, I think, Seth, would be, first of all, really looking at and deeply evaluating your marketing to figure out what is providing revenue, right? And this assumes that you're actually open and able to do some type of business. So, and this is obviously biased toward the type of work we do, but if you're running tons of ads and, you know, nobody's buying from those ads, like, it's like, okay, you know, is this an area where we're doing branding? You know, or are we wasting money right now, or do we need to tighten it up? The other thing is, just with communication in general right now, clarity, brevity, and flexibility are super important. I see a lot of businesses. So because it's such a weird time, you know, we don't know what businesses are open. Like, I'll go to order from a restaurant. Like, are you open? Are you just closed because it's Monday and you're closed every Monday? Are you closed because of the coronavirus? But really being extremely clear in your communication with current and future customers right now is, you know, and what companies will do is they'll write effectively a press release. You know, that the first paragraph is, due to the severity of the coronavirus crisis, blah, 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 blah. It's unprecedented times, blah, blah, blah. And then you get to the third paragraph and it's like, you know, oh, by the way, we're going to be closed for 2 days or 2 weeks or whatever it happens to be. Don't do that, right? I mean, give bullet points of like, yes, we are open and we want to do business with you, or no, we're not. And here's when we think, you know, we'll be open. Yes, we are open, but we have limited hours. Here are the services you can have. You can have takeout and delivery, but you can't come in. You know, people are getting a little more used to what's happening now that we're 4 weeks into this, but at the beginning, nobody knows, right? And there are a lot of businesses that just missed business simply because they were unclear in the way that they communicated, right? I mean, the number one thing about crisis communication is clarity. Also brevity, right? Do this in bullet points. You don't need a press release for this. Like, yes, we are closed. No, we're not. Here's what you should know. And also, let people know that you're going to be flexible. It's a dynamic situation. Things are changing all the time, so we're going to adjust as needed. So before even thinking about marketing, I think you have to think about the communication with current customers, because that's going to be your main base. From there, then I would say, you know, thinking long-term, building out email lists, you know, ways that you can engage with your customers. You know, it's a great opportunity to say, oh, you guys are our favorite customers and we want to let you know any specials in the, you know, the first time we reopen. So let's get you, enter your phone number. Let's get you on a text list, right? Let's get you on an email list. There's a lot of ways to even start building out those business assets, right? Your list that you can then connect with when things go back to quote unquote normal, whatever that looks like for your particular business. I don't know. That's just some high level thoughts of what we're seeing.
Yeah. How are you seeing, like just talking with some of your clients that you guys are running ad campaigns with and stuff, like how are you seeing this impact, maybe their spending decisions or their approach, and kind of what are you recommending to your active clients? And then like also kind of speaking to people that have active ad campaigns and also have the flexibility and budget to keep those ad campaigns going on, but are maybe trying to navigate like not being tone deaf and just different things like that. So how are you advising your clients to make adjustments in this time?
Yeah. And again, the simple answer is it depends. A couple things, right? So first of all, a lot of people have pulled back. So ads are cheaper right now than they've been in a long time. So if you're a business that has, you know, the right infrastructure in place to take advantage of this, that can be huge. Also really being creative. You know, I heard a story of a guy who runs a furniture store, and obviously not a lot of people are out there buying furniture, but they basically in a day went around with their iPhone, you know, took photos of every single piece in the store, you know, built a single page website, and then went and promised that like, hey, if you have any questions you want to shop, like FaceTime us and we will literally walk you around our store, and we have, you know, whatever, 20% off our normal prices right now that you're not going to get post, you know, crisis. And they at one point were hitting $5,000 a day just by doing stuff like that. So not just thinking about ads themselves, but thinking about the interaction post ad, like what does that look like? It's going to look different. And in a way, the business model might look different. Like if I, you know, called up a furniture store and said, hey, I want a FaceTime video tour around your store during normal times, that's not going to happen, right? They're going to be like, no, just come in. But that can't happen right now. So we have to be really creative. And it's the people who are going to be really creative. So that really good creativity combined with the lower cost of ads is going to lead some businesses to a lot of success right now, right? And so those are the things I would look at is now's a time if you have been prototyping an idea for a while, or you have, you know, an ebook or an info product you want to launch or a new product, it might actually be a good time to do it, especially if it is focused on the pains that people are experiencing right now. So something around loss of job, unemployment, you know, health, and, you know, people, especially in an older demographic, are suddenly very, very aware of their health, right? I mean, coronavirus, unfortunately, tends to hit the older demographic, at least from what the experts are saying, a little bit tougher. So I just think there's tons and tons of opportunity out there. And so, yeah, that's basically what I'm advising. As far as the tone deaf stuff.
Yeah, because you don't want to, like, I feel like with that, you know, I've seen a lot of ads or content that has been tone deaf, and people are like, why would you try advertising to somebody who just lost their job? Or like, wow, that's so insensitive of you and stuff. So maybe somebody, like, if somebody does find themselves in what you were just describing, where we realize, man, my product or my offer really relates to some of the pain points of this season.
Mm-hmm.
How do we go about, you know, messaging that and stuff in a way that is sensitive and not tone deaf and isn't just looking like, oh, I want to make money off this crisis?
Sure. Well, I think the very first thing is your product great or not? Right. I mean, if you have a course that, you know, is going to help people get fit, right, you know, and boost their immune system, and you have data on it, you're an expert in that area, it's not some fly by night operation, but maybe you have a nutrition background or a medical background or years of experience, then you need to, and again, medical is weird because of FDA, but let's just say you have the perfect thing and it works. It's almost a disservice not to tout that. And so there has to be sensitivity to it. But people will always hate, right? And there's a lot of negativity floating around, and a lot of people are responding strongly. Like, I see this, you know, in my own life with when people are under stress, they tend to respond strongly. That's okay, right? I mean, it's sort of where we are right now. And so obviously empathy is great. Acknowledging the oddity of the situation is great. But also focusing on, look, I mean, if you lost your job during this, like, you need another job or you need some source of income. So if you have a way that genuinely, truly helps people, you know, get their resume, interview skills, get the job opportunities, make money from home, again, not some, you know, piece of crap product, but if you've really been doing this and you believe in what you have, it's almost a disservice not to promote it, you know? And some people are like, oh, well, you should give it out for free. Like, maybe that's a business decision though. I mean, if I gave out all of our marketing services for free to all the small businesses who are struggling, we'd help a lot of small businesses, but I wouldn't be helping my family, you know?
Right. And then you'd shut down the next time you had a crisis because you wouldn't have a sustainable business.
Exactly. Plus, people who pay money are more likely to follow through, right? If you pay $500, you know, for a diet plan, you're much more likely to do it. I mean, there's enough information for you to have, you know, giant biceps, a six pack and everything online right now. Yet we don't, I mean, I don't, you know?
Right.
So it's a lack of discipline as much as it is a lack of information.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think that's really good. And I love that you started that off with, is your product great or not? Cause that's really what it comes back to. And, you know, we were talking before we hit record on just like how there's some of these like cliches of, you know, in like rise from the ashes and in crisis, like comes opportunity and stuff that are becoming really real. And I think this, like, people are being weeded out. Like, if you have a crappy product or you have a service that is, you know, you're taking advantage of people, it's going to be really hard to survive in times of crisis. But the businesses that have really great products that are creating immense amount of value in their audience and for their customers, those are the ones that they're able to lean on the audience and say, hey, we've loved helping you. Now we need a little bit of help.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. So it really is interesting how this time of crisis, it's kind of like bringing the cream to the top, in a sense that if I'm just selling cheeseburgers and my cheeseburgers are in no way different or my experience or brand is no different, like, it's probably going to be really, really hard, to, you know, make that work. Like, but if I'm actually creating really unique cheeseburgers and our experience is unlike anybody else's, then people are still going to want to experience that.
Yeah. And one other thing I want to throw on top of this is, you know, whenever you're marketing a product or service, you're generally taking one of two angles, right? Either you're moving toward pleasure or you're moving away from pain. So to take the health example, you know, moving toward pleasure is like, I have six pack abs and all the girls think I'm super cute, right? Like that's the aspirational goal that I want. Right now, the marketing, because there's so much fear, is really focused, I think, on moving away from pain. It's about like, here's how you keep a healthy immune system to reduce your risk of COVID. You know, here's how you budget, or here's how you earn money so that you can provide for your family. You know, here's how you get job training skills. You know, here's how you cook healthy. Again, health and wellness and wealth are kind of big categories right now, because those are the two things that I think we're most scared of losing, right? Is income from loss of job, loss of clients, whatever that looks like. And then of course, health with the virus. So those are really easy. But even if you're outside that, moving away from pain, like it could be, you know, if you do appliance repair, like, hey, you know, we show up in your house and we wear masks and gloves and you need a dishwasher though, you know, during this crisis, like otherwise, you know, life's a lot tougher. You need a microwave, you need an oven, you need a refrigerator to store food. So even those type of businesses, it's not like here's the newest, fanciest refrigerator with, you know, 75 bells and whistles and, you know, going to make, you know, whatever lattes for you. It's like, here's, you know, a refrigerator, we can get it to you. We do it in a safe and healthy way. Right. And you focus on avoiding all the pain versus all the pleasure that we would normally use to sell.
Yeah. I think that's great. And I think that's a really healthy approach. And, I think people like, they want to know the answer of like, Tyler, I have $100. I have $1,000. How do I use Facebook ads to, you know, get that money back and make more money? And like, you know, I heard somebody say the other day, like, get rich quick schemes are really expensive. And I think they said, they were like, I've spent millions of dollars on get rich quick schemes, in a sense of like this feeling of like, oh my gosh, I just want like, you know, I'll spend $1,000 on ads right now because they're cheap. And what I've heard you say is it's a little more complicated than that. Like, we got to have a good product. We have to have some thought into what we're doing. And so I'd love for kind of in closing, like explain, kind of speak to that feeling a little bit where people are like, okay, I'm going to boost a post for $100, or I'm going to throw $1,000 at Google advertising, and maybe like speak to how it's a little more complicated than that, but also like, how can we walk away with some simple takeaways from this conversation?
Sure. So, you know, big takeaways and kind of wrapping that up. If you're just wanting to start this out, I think the first thing is figure out what the outcome is, right? And the outcome should not be website visits. The outcome should be a phone call, you know, fill out a form, like, you know, figure out what you want the end goal to be that you want someone to do, and then work backwards from there, right? So at the end of the day, I want someone to pick up the phone and call our office and, you know, book an appointment, right? Then figure out like how to put together a great offer, right? It's not just call and book an appointment. Like, it's like, okay, we're giving away $300 gift cards right now for $200 because of the virus. Okay, so that's an offer, right? So that's our offer. Now you have to call to get that. So then you start working backwards. It's like, okay, what kind of people do we think would be interested in this offer? Well, let's say for an example, you were a spa, right? Just, you know, so who are the people who normally frequent spas? Like, there's certain, you know, income demographics, like health demographics, like, you know, gender and age demographics that we could look at and start working all the way backwards. And if you do that, pretty soon you have a funnel. You say, okay, we're going to run Facebook ads and we're going to spend $1,000 and we're going to send all those people to this particular page. And we're going to put the phone number really big at the top there. And then when they call, the offer is we're going to give them a $300 gift card and we're going to sell it to them for $200 that they can redeem, you know, between 6 months and a year from now. Right? Like, that would be an example of like sort of building out the funnel. The challenge is a lot of people will just look at it and say, well, I need to run some Facebook ads. And, you know, well, where do you want to run to? I'm just going to put in, you know, our homepage on our website, like, you know, awesomespa.com. And we're going to send as much traffic as possible. And then they go back and say, well, this didn't work. And it's like, well, what were you hoping to accomplish? You got, you know, 3,000 visitors, 10,000 visitors, whatever that was. But there was no offer. There was no call to action. There wasn't sort of a whole process. So I really, first of all, recommend that people figure out where they want their customers to end up and then work backwards from there.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's a great approach. I often tell people, I think backwards. Like, let's figure out the result you want and then let's reverse engineer that and figure out what we need to do today.
Exactly.
So more like stepping back, just kind of closing thoughts of, in your experience as a business owner, what would just your advice to other business owners listening be? Advice from, you know, whether it's from challenges you've gone through or just things that you've learned along the way. What would your parting words of wisdom from Tyler Brooks be?
Yeah, I mean, great question. There's a lot of people much more qualified to answer that question than you know, us and our little business here. But I guess maybe to borrow something from someone much wiser. So if you ever are reading through like the Bible, right? And so my faith background is Christian. So in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a really interesting book to read, was written by King Solomon, supposedly one of the wisest or the wisest person who ever lived. There's a verse in there that says effectively, he who watches the wind will not plant. Meaning, at least my paraphrase of that, right, is that if we're constantly looking at the circumstances around us, we're never going to take action, right? Because obviously that's an agricultural time, and they're talking about like, oh, you know, the wind, it always looks like it's going to storm. It always looks like it's going to rain. There's always, and right now, if you turn on the news, right, it's millions of people are going to die. The economy's tanking. Like, there's a lot of wind right now that's, you know, omens of bad things. But yet, if we always watch that, we're just going to be paralyzed with the fear of actually going and taking action. So one of the things I'm really trying to do right now is to be like, what are the actions that I can take every single day? And it's not perfect. But what are the actions that I can take that are gonna, you know, move forward? Because it always, even when things were as good as they could possibly be, you know, back in November, December, from an economic standpoint, you know, it was, oh, the politics are going to be impeached, or we're going to go to war with Iran at one point. You know, there's always things that are causes of fear, but how do we minimize those? Not watch them, be aware of them and how they'll impact our business, but not watch them and use them as an excuse for doing what we really need to do as business owners and just as human beings.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's really good advice. And a good thing to close on. He who watches the wind will not plant. So thanks so much for joining us, Tyler. I really appreciate just your time and generosity of thought. So how can people find you and stay connected with you and what you're doing?
Yeah, great question. The best way is through our website, analytive.com, analytive.com, analytive.com. And if you do /email, just email, no dash, you can sign up for our email list. That's where most of my sort of my best thoughts around marketing and things go. We also have the podcast on there, the blog on there. Yeah, and if you want to work with us, obviously that's the place to get in touch as well. So analytive.com.
Cool. That's awesome. Thanks so much. And I encourage everybody, go check out the podcast that Tyler does. It's great. And we'll see you next time. Do you want to grow an online brand that is profitable and authentic? Do you know that you have a ton of great ideas for content that you want to create, but you need accountability and strategy? Do you want to grow online, but online marketing just seems overwhelming? If your answer is yes to any of these questions, then I want to personally invite you to join our private marketing community, successwithstories.com. Success with Stories is the premier community for purpose-driven businesses committed to growing online by marketing with stories. Inside of successwithstories.com, you will learn how to create online content that converts, how to build a connection with your audience that outlasts any crisis, and most importantly, you're going to learn how to grow your business in a way that feels authentic to you. Honestly, right now in 2020, things are a bit crazy and unpredictable for all businesses. And so we think it's really important to show you how you can build a crisis-proof online brand. Head to www.successwithstories.com to join Success with Stories. Don't wait another day. We'll see you inside of Success with Stories.